This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi. And joining us on the telephone line now is Mr. Alex Linder, who is a white nationalist writer and speaker who I have interviewed in the past last year. Mr. Linder, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Obama looks to be a one-term president. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't know. Things go up and down. You can't judge from today what it's going to be like when he comes up for re-election.
It seems with the war, I've been reading a lot of what Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts write, and just following the basic news, you know, especially with those Republican victories in Virginia and New Jersey. So you think that it's possible that he might win a second term?
No, sure, no doubt.
Okay.
You can't every time someone's elected, the off party tends to do well in the intervening elections. It's just part of manipulating the system, and you've got two parties that are doing the same thing. So,
yeah,
you can't judge today. You know, 3-4 years out from what it's going to be like then, certainly.
Yeah. What about the war? The wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq. Do you have any clear indication that where do you think Obama's going to get more troops over there, or do you think he's going to pull out?
Well, I think the interesting thing about it is that he's doing exactly what Bush did. I think he probably himself personally has less interest in pursuing war over there than Bush and the neocons on the right do, but I think his hands are probably somewhat tied. I know we put billions of dollars into building permanent bases over there, so I don't think we're ever going to leave. And, you know, the left is suckered just the way the right is. I mean, the right never gets anything it votes for, and the left never gets anything it votes for. A lot of people voted for Obama because they thought he would pull out the troops, but now they see that he's not only not pulling them out, he's increasing them. So basically, he's basically leaving race aside, he's someone who has no idea of where money comes from or how it's produced because he's never had a real job or been held to any standards. So he's trying to make his peace with the system as it exists in terms of the warmongering and the defense military installation. He's trying to keep that going more or less as it was under Bush while doing all the social stuff that I suspect he really wants to do, which translated into our terms for your listeners is taking more money from white earners and turning it over to incompetent blacks, illegal aliens, and Jewish middlemen. So that's where his heart is. He's trying to have both guns and butter, and I believe his people have more than doubled the money supply. Now, that hasn't showed up in inflation yet, but, you know, I pay pretty close attention to primarily the libertarians who study that stuff and try to figure out what's happening, and you know, they've basically created a trillion bogus dollars, and the dollars have not made it into the economy. I guess the banks are more or less keeping them as reserves, and they're not loaning it out, but eventually you would think there's going to be some kind of inflation from that. And, you know, I know that Barack certainly doesn't know. He doesn't understand economics, or he wouldn't be doing things like cash for clunkers, which, you know, one private source estimated cost taxpayers $24,000 per car under that program. And his advisors were getting mad and striking back against Edmunds, which is an auto industry analyst that came up with that figure. But, I mean, this is typical. They don't know anything about economics. But it's also true that a lot of white nationalists don't know anything about economics, and that's one real problem with the cause.
What would your how would you explain economics? And, you know, I interviewed a Lord Monckton about a week ago, and he talked about the ignorance of the masses and compared today's masses to the masses of medieval times. We do live in a complicated world, and people are busy. They have busy lives that are hectic, and it's hard to really study and focus in on principles that are to get the essence of something and to know something. I've struggled with honeybees over the last 2 or 3 years, And there's just a lot of things to know in terms of, you know, figuring out how to raise honeybees. I lost two hives after having them about a year, 2 years, and then I lost two more hives. I dove back in and got eight more hives, so I've got a total of 10 hives, plus one of my hives swarmed, so I've got 11 hives now, and I've got them more advanced, but it's based on, you know, understanding things fundamentally. And what I'm getting, what I'm getting at here is, when you speak of economics and the complexities involved with economics and all these clunker programs, inflation, unemployment, credit, debt, the Federal Reserve, real purchasing power, I mean, what is a common man, how can he sort all of that out? I noticed that, you know, they report the unemployment is over 10% now for the first time since 1983. And a lot of people, especially people like Paul Craig Roberts, point out that's baloney. It's way over 10%. It may be 20, 25%, the real unemployment figure. But if you were to sit down, let's say you had an audience of a million people and you wanted to tell them the economic state of affairs so as to understand the world in which they live, and they're ignorant. Keep in mind, they're ignorant. Can you communicate to them? I mean, how would you? I might even be in that. I might even classify myself as one of the ignorant people, even though I've got an MBA. How would you sort it all out, and what would your description, simple description of the economy and economics today be?
Well, I think it can be done, and you just say, look, the people at the top are running the system for their own benefit, and you can't really trust anything they say. They're creating money out of thin air simply by printing it and loaning it around to themselves. And then what you see is the people who are regulating this are tied in with the top level industry people with Wall Street, and they're, you know, Goldman Sachs just gave every one of its, 30,000 employees like a $700,000 bonus. And all that money, when they print it and pass it around among themselves, is eventually going to come out of your hide through higher taxes. That's, people have a difficulty understanding, but through higher taxes and through inflation, through higher prices. Now, the prices have not gone up yet, but the key here is they're not following any rules. They're just insider trading to benefit themselves at the elite level, and the average guy is simply going to pay higher prices and have more and more taken out of his paycheck. So I think most people can understand that. As for the true number of unemployment, it's like the true, you know, consumer price index. How much you don't really know, because the government doesn't publish true information, or they use tricks so that they don't have to. They can make the case they're trying to make look better than it actually would in reality. But the only things you have to go by are how hard you have to work to get money, how much of your money is taken in taxes, and what the prices are, and that will tell you something.
Do you think the essence of the getting out of the crisis of last year was achieved through printing money? Is that the way they did it?
Yeah, they print money. I mean, they added $1 trillion to the money supply. Now, I know a couple of years ago it was a big thing among, you know, the right-wing analysts. They quit publishing the M3, or the total amount of money in circulation. So what you have is a private banking cartel. It's set up to protect, that's the idea of the Federal Reserve. It's set up to protect the banks, and what you need to have is a situation where banks that make bad loans go out of business instead of being bailed out by these other people. Now, they sell all this stuff to the average guy as safety and protection, but you never get safety and protection from the government. All it does is protect Goldman Sachs and the other large bankers, and, you know, they may have sacrificed one of their number, but that just allowed, you know, one of the other bigger, better, more inside ones to buy up its asset at cheap prices. But, yeah, we're the ones paying for it.
When do you think it matters to where those ignorant folks out there, the masses, really say, whoa, wait a minute, something's not right here, I'm not happy with the current arrangement?
Well, I mean, they know something's wrong, but it doesn't. What happened in Germany was, if you get eventually mass inflation that's like up to 50% or hyperinflation, more than that, you eventually get to where savings are wiped out, anyone on a fixed income is essentially wiped out, and you get middle-class people who have to turn to prostitution if they're women, or they have to sell all their assets just to be able to survive. Now, at that point, you've prepared the grounds for a revolution. Now, we're not at that point. The question is how they're going to filter in the $1 trillion that they've created out of nothing into the economy without causing massive inflation. And
you know, a lot.
I don't know the answer to that.
A lot of people point to the situation in Germany as a when a government changed hands and there was a dramatic alteration in the powers that be. But what about the American Revolution? And what I'm getting at is I recently also interviewed a fellow named Stuart Rhodes. He's head of the Oath Keepers, and he's going around trying to recruit current and former military and police officers to honor their oaths. That's the gist, their oath to defend the Constitution, which is, seems to me just to be a thinly veiled call to desert the ship. And I tried to get him to explain how revolution works. And I'm not necessarily talking about a military revolution, maybe a political revolution, but a dramatic change from the current arrangement. You mentioned the German situation. What about the American Revolution? And how does our current, how do you see the current situation rolling out? Do you see it, your crystal ball, what do you envision happening? How does it compare to previous upheaval in history?
It's hard to say. I just see you have the government trying to solve every single problem, and with people like Barack Obama or even people on the right, it's not going to change. The government is not constitutionally empowered to do anything that it does today. I mean, at least 95% of what it does, it has no right to be doing, like health care. But they don't care. That's the reason stuff like Oath Keepers is, to me, ridiculous, because the entire point of the Constitution was that the federal government would be granted certain powers to do specific things, and there are very limited things. But because it's the nature of government to expand, they simply ignore the Constitution, do whatever they want. So these guys want people to obey their oath to uphold the Constitution. It's already being ignored. So if they have a battle, it's already there, but they don't want to fight that. The Tenth Amendment says all the powers that are not specifically enumerated and delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states. But until you find people who are willing to act on that and refuse to go along with the federal mandates, then you don't really have anything. So I don't, they're after the fact. The government has no charter at all to be involved in all kinds of things like education and health care, but it is. And because they have government schools in every single district of the country, they've been able to brainwash your average person for, 150 years that the federal government is the solution to all this stuff. So almost nobody has any understanding of what the government was originally set up to do. And they have no interest in hearing that, it's basically incompetent in everything it does, from fighting wars abroad to, educating people here at home. We don't need any of it. That's the secret of the age. The secret of the age is the biological laws, the knowledge of biology that we racialists have in conjunction with the knowledge of economics that most notably the libertarians have. Now, the libertarians are wrong about the greater picture on race, but a lot of white nationalists are just as ignorant of economics as the libertarians are of race. Although in the case of many libertarians, it's not that they're ignorant about race. They're simply afraid to state the truth, which is that a lot of the economic liberty they want can only be realized in a white context. So I think the possibilities for a good revolution would lie in bringing those two together, not in some kind of forced, cultic, lockstep socialism. Government can't do anything well. There's a better way than government to achieve every single task the government is now filling. That's the secret of the age. Getting to the point where you can actually put that observation to work, that private voluntary arrangements will take care of all the stuff that government is now, that requires a lot of a political power and a lot of education.
I know you're a critic of Pat Buchanan, but I continue to read him, and he sure suggest that something's coming, and I just wonder, do you think How much do you think the United States is going to stay intact? I mean, what do you envision as happening?
Well, I mean, predicting the future is a mug's game. I mean, you can say that the government is doing everything wrong and it's going bankrupt and its policies are crazy, but the policies serve the needs of the elite who put them in place. And whether they're Jews who desire to get rid of a homogenous white Christian country, or whether they're liberal WASPs, say, who have this wacky view of a racially mixed future in which everyone is tan, and you know, that's the reason they bring in the Somalis and all these church groups work to bring in these Africans and stick them in Minnesota. I mean, regardless of the origin, they are the ones who have the power. Their view prevails. Yes, it's insane. It doesn't work, but it could drag on for decades. Yeah, I don't know. No one knows. You can't know. There's no way to predict exactly how it's all going to work out. It could wind up in, you know, a shooting war. It could wind up in just cold northern Brazil, Mexico, increasingly lawless in areas and racially mixed and dumbed down people. I don't know.
What about leaders in history? Who do you think's the more effective leader, a political leader, a military leader, or civilian leader, or religious leader? Which in history and which do you think might lead us out of this mess?
Good question. I don't know in that regard. I think that the problem comes from having Jews working as a group and running everybody else, but it's also because a lot of people really favor centralization. Most of the problems that we have in the country are not local or state problems. They're problems caused by the centralization of all power. All this adult decision-making power is located on one point for the
Alex,
whole continent.
I've got a good question framed in my mind. This is what I'm looking for. What about leaders? Forget about the masses. Forget about what about that tiny, tiny handful? Literally, handful of people. I mean, you no doubt grew up when you were growing up, and maybe you know somebody today, somebody that has character, that's, you know, squared away, is a good person. Where are they? I mean, and you know, yesterday we talked on the phone, and you were criticizing Southern folks, and I think they deserve every bit of that criticism. I look around me and I try to, you know, I look at people, you know, the way they dress, the way they carry themselves, you know, our culture, it just stinks to high heaven. But then on the other hand, leadership, that tiny notion of leadership that turns it around, says, you know, goes in another way, and they start out small. There's no way to start out big. No way. They start out small and say, okay, let's go this way. And where are they? Are there any men like that in our country, in your opinion?
There are men in every region of the country who have the character and the brains to provide the kind of leadership you're talking about. But they are prevented from leading, and they are prevented from ever forming the kind of things we need because the central power is simply too great. And anyone who tries to step forward and be honest and lead openly will be smeared, attacked, undermined, and destroyed. And you see that most visibly in, say, last century, Lindbergh. He was someone who was universally respected. He was very intelligent. He was very brave. He tried to do what was right, and he named the Jew and the Anglophiles, the pro-British who were leading us in the war. And the result was that he had his baby killed, and they undermined him. And then they used their deception at Pearl Harbor. And after that, he simply signed and went along with it. And the America First and the rest of it just was undermined. And that's the best example to use. But the people who run the country will prevent any kind of honest, moral, solid leadership from ever getting off the ground floor. So you can forget about it. The only way you're going to be able to do it is either go overtly underground and illegal, which I'm certainly not against. I mean, I'm not personally, you know, I'm above ground and go by my name and write publicly under my name and speak under my name. But an underground illegal movement is one way to go. The other way is to sit around and wait for a catastrophe, because the moment produces the man more than anything. once you have essentially D.C. removed from the question or have its head cut off the way it cuts off the heads of the solid leadership you're talking about, then natural talent will spring to the fore and the people will follow anyone who is strong and has an idea about the way to go. Like if you see Katrina, a couple of those little communities across the bridge from New Orleans, they just formed local self-defense things in the wake of the hurricane in order to prevent black looters from taking over. That's the kind of thing you could look for after a disaster, but disasters are not predictable. And without a disaster, as I said, you're going to have the feds in D.C. who are able to sniff out and destroy pretty much any, certainly able to sniff out, destroy, monitor, whatever level they need to go to, any type of white leadership that one sought to form, regardless of one's character. There is not a way to do what we want to do legally, because the feds will undermine it and smear its character in the press. You just look at how they destroyed Ron Paul, and he's not one of us. They destroyed him with smears.
Yeah,
and now recently they've gutted his bill to audit the Fed. So you can make some noise, but they will always smear you and destroy you. And they will physically assassinate you if you get any farther than that.
I heard, though, I'm trying to recall the deal with Paul. He fired all his folks and hired consultants and a bunch of Jews is what I heard toward the end of his campaign, and he ultimately didn't finish his campaign.
I don't know about that. To me, the key was he ran from racialist words that had appeared in his newsletter under his own name, which I thought was weak and contemptible, since I believe that he believes those words.
So you think Paul's genuine?
Well, he's genuine in the economic and the auditing the Fed. Yeah, he's not only genuine, he's correct about that. And he is honest. He is principled, unlike the others, except on race, which is important. Because he's doing the same praising of Martin Luther King that the rest of them do. I don't believe that he believes what he says in that regard.
Let's one focus of mine, I've thought a lot about it, are former military officers. Now, why are somebody like Norman Schwarzkopf, you're telling me that do you think there's a former military officer out there who could mount a military, who could mount a political campaign and might?
There are probably some who could. I mean, I don't know of any. Most of them, my impression is they're pretty heavily vetted in the service. I mean, they look for people with any kind of white power tattoos. They officially teach them multiculturalism and diversity. They you know, you have people like Wesley Cann Clark. There's no room for ethnically homogenous nations in the 21st century, using that as a reason to attack Serbia and Bosnia like we did.
Sir, I'm not talking about somebody like Wesley Clark. He shouted at me here in Jackson. I asked him about the Confederate symbolism in our state flag, and he shouted back. But anyway, somebody like Schwarzkopf, who painted mines, sprayed them with shaving cream. His boys got in a bind in a minefield, and he got in his helicopter and flew out there and rescued them. Some of them were killed. He incredible heroism. He used shaving cream to mark where the mines were, and they got out of there. I'm talking about a show enough leader, somebody who's one of a kind, who's not going to be overwhelmed with multicultural, who has the capacity for independent thought. You know,
I don't think there aren't any of those.
Really?
I'll overtly state there are not any of those. Not any of those in the military. Certainly not Schwarzkopf. If he really had the right attitude, he never would have attacked an innocent country in the first place, serving the neocons.
Yeah, that's a point. Good point. And you see no legal way to overcome the current situation?
No, I don't. Hmm. The enemy has too much power. All the power is collectivized in D.C. Either the power falls apart, or you might as well carry on. Look at what actually works against Zog. It's stuff like suicide bombings, like the people in Iraq. Look at the people in Afghanistan. Until you're willing to die and kill people, I don't think you're going to make much of a change, because the enemy controls the entire legal, media, and educational machinery. How are you going to make headway against that?
So what, in your opinion, is there a white movement, a genuine, legitimate white movement in this country today?
I guess you could argue about what movement means. What I would say is there is at least a reasonably large and number of people who understand theoretically and factually what is wrong with current conditions and factually, they understand philosophically and factually what is wrong with the U.S. and how to fix it, and they understand that we need and have an interest in a whites-only country. There's a lot of people, and growing number of people understand that, a growing number of websites that talk about that. So in that sense, there is a movement, but in the sense of a real political movement, no, there isn't. But like I said, that's more of something that's related to what the enemy does. This is what the right wing never understands, is that they never understand that the reason that the white stuff hasn't developed is because it is actively fought, suppressed, attacked, undermined, and smeared and destroyed. It's not because whites suddenly forgot how to organize or they can't do this or that. It's that the federal government is run by Jews and other people who hate us, and they very overtly work to destroy it. No one who hasn't tried to build such a thing or even be part of it or even operate below the party level really understands it. So the conservatives dance around like kibitzers and say, if you would just dress differently or if you would use different terms, if you wouldn't be so hostile to the Jews, they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. Well, George Washington and the American revolutionaries, did what they did, was that illegal or was that legal?
It was illegal. I mean, they did, some stuff they did was legal, but most of it was illegal. But again, that's not really relevant because you have radically different technology today that you didn't have back then. You have transportation that can get you anywhere very quickly, and you have media that can essentially turn the world into one place. So we're under very different conditions than they were back then.
But still, the notion of law and leadership, those are still concepts that have a bearing, have a great bearing on the matter. The rule of law and what would the goal, if you're going to attract a lot of people, seems like if you're going to get a lot of people to follow you, that it needs to be necessarily legal.
I mean, here's the point. You can prove that the massive majority of people wants our borders shut down and doesn't want affirmative action, yet we have those and 1,000 other liberal policies that no one wants. So how do you get them? If the mass number of people want it and their desire is perfectly legal, how come they don't have any representation? How come all the people who would like a whites-only country, or even barring that, just simple free association that would allow whites to live among themselves and exclude others, how come we don't have anyone representing that point of view? There's an easy and obvious answer. And it's not the answer the right-wingers want to hear. They want to hear that, oh, we haven't organized correctly, or we haven't...
What's the answer?
It's because the fucking federal government is jumping on these people with both feet with anybody who even talks about that stuff. It's because we are continually being attacked. But the right-wingers always want to blame the whites who actually think about going beyond, you know, simply whining on the Internet. We're losing because we're being attacked and suppressed. They're not beating us because people don't agree with our ideas. Plenty of people do.
I see. You know, we're going to have to suffer through watching this thing evolve and roll out. And there will be, I guess, maybe there will be a presidential election in 2011. And I see Pat Buchanan advising Sarah Palin quietly behind the scenes. And I'd be curious to know. I think a Republican's going to win the next term, and I'd be interested to know your view of Sarah Palin and the Republican Party. I mean, I know it's a disgusting thing to have to talk about, but what's your comment?
Sarah Palin is, to me, it's more interesting. She herself is pretty not a real impressive, but she's a normal enough person. She has the flaws and the abilities of probably someone slightly above average, and her level is probably tapped out by, you know, being the mayor of a small town in Alaska or whatever she was. But the people who hate her, those are the ones to keep your eye on. Why do they hate her? Well, they hate her because she didn't abort her kids, and she has a lot of kids. But the fact that she is hated by them, very much like Pat Buchanan himself, doesn't mean that she is one of us or that she has any real solution. She's just another knucklehead who quickly, you know, took the pro-Israel line, and she'll do whatever the neocons tell her. And of course, she's not straight on race either, from her husband to her general. There's no difference between the two parties at all. There's no difference between Pat Buchanan and the lefty communist. He would never fight. He's a Republican. He and his type appeal to people who see that something's going wrong, but conservatives will never fight. That's why the white nationalist cause, even though it's grounded in right-wing reality rather than left-wing fantasy, is still fundamentally different. And unless you're willing to fight and die, I mean, people just don't want to accept that those are the actual terms of the debate as the enemy has laid them down. You can go out there and you can, you know, legally try to sign up for a party. They have 1,000 ways to thwart you. You will never get fair or equal legal or media treatment. So that's the reason that the stuff that white nationalists support, that is supported by the majority of whites and the majority of Americans, never gets through, because the minority actually controls things and doesn't want it.
Let's talk.
And they're willing to use illegal means. We aren't.
Let's talk about the white nationalists, the known white nationalists out there. And let me start with David Duke. I interviewed Tom Metzger not long ago, and I'd like to try to get him on the telephone line after a little bit of more review with you. But what's your view of David Duke?
My view is he has achieved more than anyone else. He may have personal failings, but he has certainly put together a couple of good books. He put together a good campaign. He demonstrated exactly what I'm saying. It took the entire Republican Party working with the Democratic Party, working with the Jews and the media, to prevent him from winning that election.
Which election are you referring to?
What's that?
Which election are you referring to?
Oh, geez, what was it?
U.S. Senate.
15 years ago, when he was running for Senate against Edwards, and
they
had bumper stickers, "Vote for the crook, it's important."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that shows you that even someone who's not all that well-spoken, as Duke's not that well-spoken, even someone, but he's out there, and he's representing the white view. And I give Duke credit, and I like him because he never backed down on the Jewish issue. Now, I don't think that he... Today, he's not running anymore, and he's abroad, but there may well be valid personal reasons for that, because the feds are very vindictive, and they can come after you and frame you on a number of things. So it's understandable. I'm sure he's doing what he thinks is best. I somewhat disagree with his pushing, you should love the white race. I don't think that's really the best way to go. I think the best way, a better way than what Duke and the Stormfront crowd advocate, is giving adults back their heads, and that's where you get into the get rid of government. It's proven it's incapable across all these fronts. Let people be adults and make every decision. That's the real appeal of our cause, beyond living in a white area with people like us where there's no physical violence and the social lowest common denominator is much higher than it is in a multicultural situation where, like the Harvard professor proved, basically people pull their heads in like turtles when they're in a diverse area because they can't know or trust anybody, even the people of their own race, when it's all mixed. So you see what I'm saying? So instead of, the media calls us all haters, so Duke and Stormfront's response is, we just love our own race, we don't hate other races. I don't think that's the right way to go. The right way to go is, look, you want to be a free, white adult, live in a controlled area, come our way. The Republicans, Pat Buchanan, they're never going to do anything. They're making money off the system the way it is. And so white nationalism must very strongly polarize itself between us and the Jews, and everybody who is not us essentially belongs to the Jews, and that certainly includes Pat Buchanan, for all that the Jews may criticize him for this or that little niggling thing. No, we have to polarize the field between us and the Jews. That's where we get the split on our side. And all those who want to mix our cause with the conservatives, the paleo-conservatives, the alternative right they're trying to build, apart from the neo-Cohens, the neocons, they're not helping us. So, I take a very, that is my line. I've kept that line for all the time I've done ZNN, and I'm right. And the other ones who disagree are simply wrong about that. But they have no instincts. They're always being drawn back into this safe failurism of conservatism.
Alex, I'm trying to build a listening audience, and I was wondering, would you be willing to let me have you on once a week, and you could advertise it on VNN Forum and have people call in and ask questions, and we'd cover a certain topic or topics?
I'd be willing to do it at least a couple of times a month. I don't know about every week, but,
I
would.
Yeah, if that
I'm,
would, that
if,
would
If I'm around and I don't have other commitments, yeah, I'd be willing to do it.
Okay.
If you want to go ahead and get a number where people can call in, I think that would be interesting to people.
That was something else I was going to ask you about, because I've already investigated some about an 800 number, and I can get an 800 number for my home telephone number, but you have to use a four-digit code to get on through. And then I got to thinking about, you know, people's long-distance plans. And aren't they so nominal now that, I mean, you can almost call anywhere for a very minimal amount?
Well, what it is a lot of people have a flat rate long distance. So essentially it doesn't matter. If they're paying for long distance, then one
exactly.
marginal calls don't matter
right.
once they're paying.
I
don't know. The question would be the response.
Well, maybe could we try it with my home number first, and if we don't get any calls, then I'll try to get an 800 number?
I've never done the technical end like you're trying to do. We've always done Skype stuff, and there can be a lot of issues with that. So.
Yeah, but
go ahead and try it.
We'll try in the future. Okay, that sounds good. I'm on the ADL's website, and I think it's interesting. I'd just like to get your take, as I did with Tom Metzger, on the list of people they've got there, and then I want to try to get Mr. Metzger on the telephone line. The first on the ADL site is Richard Barrett, and you don't have to go into any great detail, just a real quick thumbnail, your opinion. Richard Barrett.
Is that the Mississippi guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a complete shitbag.
Yeah.
And I totally ostracize him, have nothing to do with him. He is one of the few, he is the classic definition of the term shyster. He's a dishonest lawyer. He will literally make quotes up and attribute them to people. Mm-hmm. That's when he's feeling his oats. His ordinary way is simply of manipulating and twisting what someone says, taking it out of context to make it appear they meant the opposite of what they actually said. So he is, as I said, a complete shitbag, and no lesser word will do. I have nothing to do with him, and I advise others to have nothing to do with him.
Next guy is Lewis Beam.
Beam wrote the essay on... he's written some good stuff. Did he write the original essay on leaderless resistance?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Don't know the guy. Have read a fair amount about him, but yeah. Good essay.
Next one is Bertolini and Story, 11th Hour Remnant Messenger.
They were names that popped up a few years ago. I know one of them got rich, something in technology, and then they were pushing CI. They printed up a whole bunch of brochures or something. I stay away from CI people. They're more or less insane. I mean, their doctrine is complete garbage. I never knew those guys. I know that I think one of them eventually got busted, and then I haven't heard anything about them since the very early days of VNN.
Next person is Don Black.
Don Black obviously runs Stormfront, but I don't really know Don. I mean, he said a number of things against VNN. I have no particular impression. I don't know what Stormfront's point is or what they're trying to do these days.
Nor do I. Next person is Richard Butler.
Is that the dead guy?
Yeah, why do they still have him on their website if he's dead?
Well, they get a lot of stuff wrong. They're not particularly enterprising. I actually met Richard Butler. He was with us when we demonstrated out at Topeka. He seemed like a nice old man. He himself was more or less one of these CI people. So,
Christian identity, you're saying. CI, Christian identity.
Christian identity, yeah. It's wacko doctrine. It's concocted out of thin air. It has no basis. Not that anything in the Bible has a basis, but CI is just whites who want to be Jews and are too lazy to write their own religious book, so they claim they're the real Israelites. I just finished reading a book about it. Just the most ridiculous stuff in the world.
But before I forget, I'm looking at their site, and I've jumped down to the bottom, and I don't see Bill White even listed. Wonder why they don't have Bill White listed, and what's your view of Bill White?
Bill White is very intelligent. He's got some kind of clinical delusional problem. Other people don't really exist to him, so he is willing to smear them and lie about them and undermine their efforts. However, on the plus side, he's one of very few who has a genuine intellectual understanding of Nazism and genuinely understands how you hurt the people who are actually running the country, i.e. the Jews and the Shabbos Goyim. So he's someone who bears paying attention to. He put out a very good magazine. He didn't step over the line legally, but he got close enough the feds decided to grab him and stick him in jail. I think he'll eventually be acquitted and get out because what he did is not illegal.
Mm-hmm. Arthur Butz.
Butz performed a signal work in intellectually undermining the Holocaust. And this is an engineering professor at Northwestern when he wrote the original book, what was it, The Hoax of the
20th Century. Yeah.
Great stuff. You can find the book online, read it. I don't know Butz personally. For all I know, he may be a Jew or whatever, but, I mean, he clearly showed the Holocaust is just a bunch of garbage.
Willis Carto.
Carto, I don't know. He's obviously a rich guy who runs IHR or who set up a lot of the right-wing stuff. Obviously, he has something on the ball if he's able to create a lot of these different front groups and organizations, but you know, I don't know him personally.
Alex Curtis.
Curtis got busted for putting a snake skin outside of some ADL clown's house down in San Diego. He's another guy who has not been heard from since the very early days of VNN, around 2000, 2001. I don't know. I would assume he's out of prison by now. Maybe he's simply not contacting anybody. I haven't seen anything from him in at least 6 years.
We've already talked about David Duke. The next guy's Edward Fields.
Fields, I don't know if he's still doing his newspaper, but he did a newspaper for a very long time. He's obviously a figure who's been around. He's spoken all kinds of places, and he's one of the longest-running threads in the whole Southern resistance to, you know, integration and so-called civil rights. He's done a lot of good work.
Dan Gaiman.
I think he was or is one of the CIA guys.
Bo Greitz.
Greitz is more of a patriotard type who set up. He tried to set up a little. What was it? Heaven something. Some little community. I've heard he was FBI or whatever, but I don't. I've seen the guy one time in person. I don't know him. He's to me. I class him with the patriotards. Anybody who talks about the Constitution, typically I regard as an idiot, because the Constitution is, as Joe Silverman said, is no threat to the way that we live, you know, today, because they ignore it. So,
one thing Mr. Metzger said when I asked him about Bo Greitz that I found remarkable, he said Bo Greitz tried to commit suicide. Had you ever heard that?
Yeah, that I recall that from a few years ago. I think he shot himself in the chest, but he didn't die.
Well, that's remarkable. What? That's something.
He was also the guy who interceded with Randy Weaver,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, I tried to get an interview with Colonel Greitz, and he indicated he would, and then he never got back with me. Next guy is Matt Hale.
Hale, as people should know, is in jail for 40 years. He was set up by the feds, and it's just an example of how careful you have to be if you're going to try to defend white people, because the government is extremely dishonest. They will use any means, fair or foul, to get their man. And I guess Hale gave them enough of an opening that they were able to take advantage of it. It's a real shame. He was denied his law license for no reason other than his politics. And they disguised that as a morals charge, saying that you're not allowed to believe what he believes and have a law license and use it. So it's a real shame about Matt Hale.
I don't see Kirk Lyons on this list, on the ADL's list. The Southern Poverty Law Center's list him, but I interviewed Kirk Lyons the other day and really enjoyed talking with him. He's a fun guy. What's your view of Kirk Lyons?
I don't know the guy, but he has been, and if I'm wrong, I will retract this. He has been either accused or someone has speculated that he was the one who got Andreas Strassmeier into and out of the country. Andreas Strassmeier is the German who essentially set up and actuated the cell that bombed Oklahoma City. So if that's the case, then Lyons is not a good guy.
Boy, I don't even understand what you just said. How does that work again?
The government blamed McVeigh and Nichols for bombing Oklahoma City. The fact is they were part of a larger cell. The cell was put into motion and given the idea and actuated by Andreas Strassmeier, a German national. Your listeners should read, you should read, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, in which he describes a lot of this. And then after OKC, that's why they shut it down and they got McVeigh executed quickly, if he was executed.
And that's that. What you just said about that larger sale, that's been valid.
I'm trying to see the thing is, you asked about Lions. I'm trying to recall, but I believe that Lions, there was some association between Lions and Andreas Strassmeyer.
He, in the interview, I didn't know what he was talking about, but he said he had left the white movement, and that he mentioned that all the white nationalists now view him as a CIA, and he mentioned the Mossad or something like that. I guess that pertains to what you're alluding to.
I know I've seen that speculated, but I don't want to say more because I might say something that
I might misremember
something. But he's not right. Someone I ever ran across. I just recall that being raised because there was some way that there was never any legal or media attention paid to Strassmeyer, and there's a heck of a lot more going on than was ever discussed. And it's only come out lately because of Jesse Trenadu, who's a lawyer in Salt Lake, whose brother was murdered, and that led to the uncovering of FBI forms that proved that the ADL, the SPLC, and the FBI had informants in Elohim City in Oklahoma.
See, Alex,
they knew that the Oklahoma City bombing was going to take place.
This is why I love you, Alex, is because you you're so informed, and that's why I think a program twice a month would be interesting, and we could build up a listening audience over time. Because so many people, you know, just don't know anything about it. You would never hear about this in the mainstream media. I mean, you'd have to dig and research and. You know, there's just a ton of stuff that's worthwhile discussing that we'll never see in the mainstream media. So, okay, good. E. Michael Jones.
E. Michael Jones is a Catholic intellectual, kind of a one-man band. He runs a whole publishing media mini-empire out of South Bend, Indiana. And I've profited greatly, as have many others, from reading his various works. He first came to kind of national fame for his thesis that a lot of these intellectuals are come up with their theories as a way to justify their sexual immorality. That's what he was first known for in the conservative media. But lately, in the last few years, he's taken to writing critically about Jews, and he does it from a Catholic standpoint. So he kind of gives you the whole Catholic Jew history over the last 1,500 years. Now, I don't agree with his basis or his conclusions, but he certainly knows a heck of a lot of history. And you can read his stuff and profit greatly, and you can put your own white nationalist spin on it. You can see what he's not saying, because the Catholic doctrine is rooted in the idea that Jews are not biologically different. They're just unconverted Christians. So the right policy for them is not to allow them to undermine society and continually try to convert them, whereas, in my opinion, the right thing is to identify them as a alien hostile species and exterminate them.
Richard Kelly Hoskins.
I heard the name, don't know him.
David Irving.
Irving tours around. Everybody knows who Irving is, I think. And I have heard him speak. He is very fascinating and insightful and probably uniquely familiar with the inner circle around Hitler. That's his kind of his calling card. Yeah. And he's someone with no formal historical credentials or formal historian credentials yet. He does, as he points out, he does the real spade work. He goes and talks to the people and does research in archives with original documents, whereas most of the formal professional historians simply cite each other's work. They don't do any actual digging or thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
He's some of the things he's done I don't like, kind of his kind of giving in a little on the Holocaust stuff, but on the whole, if you have a chance to hear him speak, go hear him speak. He's very interesting. Read his books. Most of his books are available free online. Great stuff.
Yeah, I've tried to. He said he would give me an interview when he was passing through Mississippi, but he too backed out. Maybe he was expecting me to sign up and pay a fee. That was my sense. He sure pushes the financial part of it.
Yeah, well, he was bankrupted by his lawsuit against the Jew Lipstadt. So, you know, I'm sure he's concerned with money. English people in general are concerned with money.
Yeah, I agree. Mark Kernke.
Don't know him other than by reputation. He was one of the people involved with the militia stuff, but I thought he was basically a crank because, you know, they get into the pushing the God stuff, and I don't know if he's Christian identity, but they just say a lot of stuff that's not so. And I don't like blowhards. I don't like people like, oh, yeah, we're on the field. We're going to defend the country. You know, they're always talking about fighting, but they don't do it.
Right. David Lane.
So, what's that?
David Lane.
Lane, member of the Order, wound up in prison.
They've got you. I'm going to ask about... Well, go ahead. Tell me about the Order.
Well, I would think your listeners would know the Order was a group founded by Robert Matthews, and they were revolutionaries. They financed their revolution by robbing different places. They made a major haul of about $4 million, I think, when they robbed a armored car up in Ukiah, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, California. But they dropped a gun at the scene. They got traced. There were a couple informers, and they ended up being killed by the FBI or imprisoned, most of them.
They've got you listed next. Then they list Kevin MacDonald.
MacDonald thereafter because he gives an academic basis to the criticism of Jews you get from people like me who aren't academics. And he's a real good guy. I don't know, you know, whether his theory is right or not to me is pretty immaterial because the point is the Jews are operating as a team against the rest of us.
Yeah, that's
but MacDonald provides an intellectual basis for that you need when you're going up against the Jew academic PhDs who claim that race does not exist, even though they know that they're lying. They still have the formal credentials and the media to amplify their lies.
You know,
so it's very useful to have PhDs who are on our side, who say the white race ought to defend itself. It has interests.
Yeah, see, that's
point out how we're being attacked. So,
as a simple person, I figured that out, you know, just that the Jews are teaming up against white people, and that's something, you know, that the masses just don't get. I wonder if they ever will. Dennis Mahan and Daniel Mahan.
The Mahan brothers were involved with lots of different things. I've never met them or talked to them. I know they were involved with the McVeigh, if not McVeigh, there was kind of a circle of people, and they were somehow involved with that. They're mentioned in the secret life of Bill Clinton, I believe, but they were involved or around the periphery of a lot of that stuff. But I don't know them.
Weren't they the ones that were arrested recently for sending a letter bomb to someone?
That sounds right.
And Tom Metzger his home got raided because the feds thought he might be, you know,
that does sound familiar.
Yeah, I think that's the case. The next person they've got listed is Tom Metzger.
Metzger has run, he ran as what, a Democrat or something when he was down in San Diego. He's
right.
He's kind of associated with a lot of the skinheads, and he was set up in a ridiculous guilt by association for a couple of skins killing some Ethiopian in some traffic altercation in Portland. I actually read some Jew wrote a book about that, which I read. He's done a lot of media. He's persuasive as adult male in a way that a lot of white nationalists are not.
Let me just try to get him on the line real quick. Okay, this is the first time I've ever tried this, so I don't know. You'll have to tell me if you can hear him okay. I called him earlier, and he said he would take the call. I don't know if we'll be able to get him or not. Let's just see.
Hello?
Mr. Metzger?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. I've got Alex Linder with VNN on the telephone line with me.
Okay.
Hello, Tom.
Can y'all hear one another okay?
Yes, I can hear.
Sure.
Can you hear? Okay. Now I'm not trying to start a fight between y'all. I just want to try to. I'm trying to air a difference of difference of opinion on some matters. And the first one, the first one pertains to Glenn Miller. Of course, Glenn Miller is associated with Alex and Mr. Metzger. You felt you were not for him, but you were for Alex. So. Let me ask Mr. Metzger to lay out there your criticism of Glenn Miller and then let Alex respond.
Well, that's all been aired 100 times, maybe 1,000 times before. Alex knows my position. I don't see any reason to regurgitate it now.
Yeah,
because there's much more positive things I think that we could talk about.
Okay.
I had one thing I wanted to know from Tom in relation to Duke. Now, Tom, I had talked to Duke one time for a couple hours when he told me he didn't want me to show up at his reunion when he got out of prison. But he was very bitter and blaming you essentially for undermining him the weekend before his election. I know you have a response to that with claims about coke and whores up in Denver. So,
yeah, that was funny. I was interviewed. It was just by a total accident that happened, because I was being interviewed by a local paper right next to where I live. And we had talked about an hour. At the end, he said something about David Duke, and he said there'd been rumors that he had used cocaine. I said, yeah, I'd heard those rumors. I know he used to go over to Denver a lot and party and ski and stuff with a fireman over there. I forget his name now. But that was all that was said. And what happened was, they came out in the local paper and said Duke was using cocaine. Well, I didn't say that at all.
Okay.
So I called the paper the next day, and they put a retraction in the local paper. But AP picked it up and ran it just like they said. And so then that's what the fuss was all about. No, I didn't care. I didn't have any interest in helping or hurting David Duke in that thing. In fact, when he wanted to run for president, it was my guy. I can't even remember his name anymore. It's been so long ago. He used to be with Rockwell. He was excellent at working with getting people on the ballot in different states.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him, and he said, well, he'll help Duke get on the ballot in all these states. So he got with Duke, and they started doing that. And after he'd done about two or three states, he was working his ass off, traveling all over the place. Duke just called him on the phone and says, forget it, I'm not running. And after he'd put all this time and money into the situation. But I'll say this, that later the cocaine thing did come out, and it came out through Carl Hand, who was David Duke's right-hand man. Carl's up in Buffalo, New York now.
Okay.
And he told me, yeah, it's true, he did. But I never said he did. I said the rumor was around. And,
okay.
And he didn't, you know, he didn't have a chance of president anyhow. I mean, it was okay if he wanted to run to get his name in the paper, but he was never going to come anywhere near close in any presidential primary. So anyhow, but he's used that. All kinds of people in his corner keep bringing that up. And if they call the newspaper in Oceanside, California, I don't know, of course, the reporter's probably not there anymore, he would verify my story.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear that from you firsthand.
The guy in Denver, his name was Wilkins. He was known to be in drugs.
Now that y'all... is there anything else either one of you want to say in regard to David Duke?
I don't want to waste my time on David Duke. I started working with David Duke when he first started, when he very first took over the Klan. And I really liked him, and I thought he was going to be the man. I said, this guy's going to do it. But then after working with him a while, people like Louis Beam and I and so forth, we discovered that his feet were made of clay, and he was an immoral man, and you couldn't trust your wife or your daughter in the room with him if you happened to step out for a cup of coffee. I got a whole reservoir of stuff about that, but I just quit him. I couldn't take that, and so did Louis Beam, and so did I. He lost so many good people, it's unbelievable. When he ran for state senator, I was his campaign manager.
But let me ask Alex this question. Alex, you know, when I was running for Congress the first time as a racial candidate here in Mississippi, I think the guy's name was Vincent Breeding. That name comes to my mind.
Yeah, I remember that from a few years ago.
That down in Louisiana. I contacted him, went down there, and Vincent Breeding got Duke on the phone over in Russia. I posed the question. I asked him, would you endorse me for Congress? And his reply was, well, if you do poorly, it might hurt me. And he ultimately, you know, he declined to endorse me. And you have been so, Alex, you've been very dogmatic in regard to Pat Buchanan being a purist. I just wonder how you...
I don't consider that purism, though. It's simply maintaining a party line is not purism.
But
if someone's either a white nationalist or they're not. Conservatism, and this is one thing Metzger has done right, in my opinion, to say as our cause is not conservatism, even though
correct.
I still think our cause is right-wing. I know he disagrees with that.
Well, I think that the whole thing right and left has gotten so blurry and fuzzy that it's hard to even use either titles. I pick from what I know from the right, and I pick from what I've learned from the left, and I put it together sometimes and form a new tactic, that's all. It's not any magical thing. I didn't come down from the mountain with tablets.
Bringing up the issue of morality, though, Bradley Smith, it's been Mr. Metzger, he's qualified his statement in regard to Bradley Smith being a homosexual. He's heard rumors to that effect. And Alex, you told me earlier that whether or not he was or wasn't a homosexual, it didn't matter. But
what I'm saying is he's not a white nationalist. He's a revisionist. I'm saying they're not the same thing. So I don't know anything. I've heard he's married to a Mexican. I don't really know, or it doesn't really matter in relation to his cause, which is, you know, getting his ads published and questioning the Holocaust.
You don't think somebody's moral character has a bearing on their effectiveness or the legitimacy of it, though?
Not in relation to the campaign that he's running, no. It's purely intellectual.
Well, but let's say we had a white nationalist leader that were to run for Congress or the president, and he was out.
Yeah, I agree. The moral character has something in that regard, but you're talking about a specific person in a specific campaign, which is Bradley Smith.
Okay, I got you. I hear you on that. Let's go back to Duke.
Well, they're on a whole different ball field, the revisionists, and most of them aren't racist, and many of them are married to non-whites, and several of them have been homosexuals, and then Tom Marcellus was a big kingpin in Scientology and was using the revisionist thing behind the scenes, recruiting people for that. And so there's a lot of... I go way back to when it first started, and David McAlden, it was David McAlden's idea, and Carto sort of put up the money, and...
Let me go back to the political campaign and moral character. Alex, you seem more favorable toward Duke, and I'm not necessarily trying to.
Well, Jim, you got to understand. I've talked to Duke for 2 hours one time. Tom has a long history with him. I don't know anything about Duke. I'm not overly favorable toward Duke in relation to how he's been to VNN. And our people, but on the other hand, I give him some respect for very nearly, you know, beating Edwards in that race and for being involved in organized politics. But I don't know the guy, so.
So you, what you're saying
well,
is.
I'm saying Tom has a long history with him, so he can he can give you more of what he's actually like. I only know him from the far.
It's not that long. I left him in the late, let's see, that would have been the mid-70s, I left him. And,
but Mr. Metzger, you mentioned something about Duke going out to California and something going to those gay bars and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Warner, Jim Warner, the notorious bisexual. He was out there anyhow. He lived up in Hollywood, and when Duke came out there, they went around to the gay bars. And one time the Nazis caught Warner cross-dressing and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. But I don't know what he's done since he went to Louisiana.
I have been told by a confidant, a highly placed confidant of David Duke's, that he's a piece of shit, quote, unquote. And the reason I am emphasizing Duke is I'm interested in bringing whites together around something, someone, some idea, a community that will attract more people. And it's my general sense that if you've got somebody that has a shady character, that, in other words, they need to be somewhat of a white knight. Like what was that fellow back in the 20th century, Alex, you mentioned, that was a hoss? Lindbergh?
Oh, Lindbergh.
Yeah, was he ever accused of any bad moral conduct, or was he a straight arrow?
No, I think he was a straight arrow.
Mm-hmm. How about John Dillinger? I like bad good boys, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Well, let's say morals have sort of changed a little bit over the years.
You're not going to find many people in politics who are super clean or straight.
That's right.
Yeah. When lying works so well, especially in democracy.
That's why I got out of
it. I agree.
After I ran for Congress and after I ran for U.S. Senate, and the boys laid out for me how I could be congressman or senator, and I told them go to hell, I got out of it. And after I got screwed out of my position on the State Central Committee of the Democrat Party in California, I left. I said, you're never going to get there this way. This way, they'll block you every time.
I agree with y'all's assessment about politicians being dirtbags. That's why I've focused in on military, ex-retired military officers as a potential source of leadership. And, so...
Why?
Well, because they were trained to be leaders. They've been around the concept of leadership their entire lives. That you would expect.
They've been brainwashed from the minute they stepped into the academy.
Alex agrees with you on that point. But I would think, I've wondered, are there not some independent thinkers? And Alex doesn't think there are. I'm not convinced there are.
Well, I mean, you can find a few people who typically write for, like, Lou Rockwell, who question our foreign wars, but are they going to lead whites? I mean, they seem to have a pretty tight control. Like Tom says, they're brainwashing them from day one that we're, they're just a dark green Marine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think too many are going to make it through that process.
Mr. Metcalf,
the higher officership of all the corps are political. And remember how Eisenhower was jumped over about 6 or 8 other better officers and put in a top position because Mrs. Roosevelt liked him. See, so, yeah. I mean, it's been political from a lot. Even back when Lincoln and all them were running around, it was political.
And it's the same with cops. I mean, the upper ones are, pushing all the stuff that maybe the guy in the street doesn't like it, but...
Right.
Is there any, you fellas got anything else to say to one another? If not, Mr. Metzger, I've got to finish up with with Alex.
Well, the only thing I got to say is Alex has his tactical beliefs in the way it should be carried out, like one general or colonel or private or whatever, and I have my ideas on tactics and so forth, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to be in the same war or we would turn our back on each other in a pinch, you know what I mean? So I believe in a different type of tactical approach, and he believes in his tactical approach. So I don't intend to interfere with Alex, and I don't think he intends to interfere with me.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Well, one thing, and I'm not trying to get y'all in a fight, but I would just try to clarify something that I heard very different views on Glenn Miller. And y'all say it's been regurgitated 1,000 times, but it was the first time I had ever heard it. And let me just try to summarize both y'all's positions. I like the way it's gone so far. So let's it's my understanding Mr. Metzger thinks that Glenn Miller is a rat, and Alex says that really the order ratted Glenn Miller out. That Glenn Miller formed the largest group of white people. But he accepted some money from the order, and then the Fed squeezed the order after they arrested them, and they then turned on Miller and said, "We gave money to Miller." Mr. Metzger, did you know about the order telling the Feds that they gave money to Glenn Miller?
No, not necessarily. But there's so much stuff floating around that it's difficult. But there's. If you read the record and pull all the files and put them all side by side and read them, I'll put my confidence in the files, the court files, and there was a lot of other stuff besides just one thing that Glenn was accused of. And that's not my position. He is not associated with me, and I've said everything I got to say.
What did he do in terms of ratting someone out, though? What was his actual crime? You say there.
You don't have enough time. I don't even have the files in my hand here, but I'm sure we could dig out all the files from back east in North Carolina and so forth, and all the files down south and all that, and just read them, and then people can make up their own mind. I think there's a bunch of that up on the Internet now. I'm not sure. I didn't put it up there. I'm not going to fight over Glenn Miller. I just don't want anything to do with him, that's all.
People can make up their own mind. I'm just saying that the order implicated Miller. He confirmed some information years after the fact. That's it. I don't. He is the most selfish
person.
All I can
say is I'm 100% behind the order members that are in prison. I'll never change until I die. I mean, that's it. I'm committed to those men in prison, and I'll never change. I don't know whether that's true or not. I mean, there was a lot of people that said things that got people in trouble. A lot of times it wasn't intentional. There was a lot of pressure put on a lot of people. So exactly what everybody said, like I say, I've got all the files of the order trials and all that kind of stuff, and I think I've got the files from Carolinas, too.
I'll tell you this, fellas. I respect the depth of your restraint because both of you are stud horses and both of you are holding fire. And I appreciate it.
I mean, I don't really have anything to say other than I've dealt with Miller. I've looked into the background. I don't have a problem with what he did. It's not great, but, you know, you're loyal. You don't owe loyalty to people who aren't loyal to you and who have got you thrown in prison and destroyed your organization. You don't, at a certain point, I mean, you don't owe them any more loyalty. They owe
them
loyalty.
One other question I had, I understood that he was married to an Asian, had an Asian kid.
He had an Asian kid before he was a white nationalist, and he was over in Vietnam or whatever. At some point he did, yeah. So he's routinely married.
Well, here's my position on that. Like a guy wrote me today, emailed me, said, you know, one time way back he had relations with a black girl. What do I think? And I said, well, I emailed him back, and I said, did you have any kids? If he didn't have any kids, he can be reconstructed. But once a white man crosses the race line and has a non-white kid, he's out of there. I won't have anything to do with him.
That's your position or principle, yeah.
Yeah.
I can just say from working with him, the guy is utterly trustworthy. He is less interested in money and less more unselfish than anyone I've met and more active, too, than anyone I've met in the movement.
Well, whatever works for you.
Well, Mr. Metzger, I will have you on again soon, and I've proposed to Alex to have him on. He's going to try to be on with me maybe twice a month, kind of on a regular basis, and try to get people to call in and ask questions, and I'd try to do the same with you.
Frankly, Jim, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a critique from Tom, not today, but at some point, of my own position or my own tactical advice where he thinks we differ. I'm not sure how much we actually differ on, but I'd like to have his opinion.
The only thing I see is pretty much a cookie-cutter situation from most of what's going on before in other organizations. I must admit, I'm speaking with, I don't get on your chat rooms because I don't believe in chat rooms. I don't do a lot of the things you do. But from what I could see, it's not too much different than what's gone before. I mean, you're a different
person. We don't have a group, so we're not actually doing anything beyond, the forum stuff right now. And we have done demos and flyering and whatever. I do have some specific ideas that are different from what's been done before, but we aren't doing them.
So you don't have a membership organization?
No, we don't. No.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that. I thought it had members.
No. I'm not going to take money from people unless I have something specific I want to do with it. You know, beyond yeah. you know, we take money to fund the website, but
sure.
not for a group. No.
Well,
but I do have some ideas.
Yeah, Duke gets most of the money, I think.
So that's what bothers me. I think Duke does get most of the money.
Well, I don't understand how people can stay with Duke when he has committed not only racial crimes, but he's committed economic crimes and stolen money from his own people. I mean, you know, what was $250,000 down south there, and he gambled a lot of it away on the Mississippi gambling boats and all that kind of stuff. I don't understand myself. He in the beginning, he had guys that would walk off a long pier for him, but then they began to see these things. He wrote two books. One book was African Ototo, which he was trying to make money on, which taught blacks how to kill whites. And the second book was, I forget the title, but he pretended to be a woman author on how best to give blowjobs. I mean, you know, we looked at that. And the Klan has said, look, this is not where we want to go.
Well, the biggest...
He always had some kind of stupid excuse.
The biggest red herring to me in regard to Duke is the continued Jews media coverage he enjoys.
Well, you know that. You know why?
Yeah,
because
he's not going. He's not going anywhere.
He gets in and out of countries. I can't even get into a European country. I can't get into England or Germany or any of those countries. The only place I got into was Japan, and my son was even kicked out before he got out of the airplane in Germany. But some of these guys just go around the world and nobody ever bothers them.
I think anyone who appears on mainstream media, though, is suspect to my mind. They wouldn't put them on there if they were genuine leaders and were going to be effective and were really going somewhere.
Well, that's why I'm not on there anymore, because we, in the 80s, we started making some real headway, and we're getting a lot of public information out to the public. And the Jews said, hey, get these guys off there, because they're presentable, they're wearing suits, they talk reasonable, and we can't have them on there. So I've been blackballed from major TV ever since.
You know, that's funny, Tom. I saw a clip of you, Race and Reason. I don't know if it was Race and Reason, but you were on some show in the 80s. And, boy, you can even see in 25 years just a real, real decline. There's no way the kind of stuff you and I think it was Tom Martinez,
yes,
the bad guy from the Order, we're discussing. You couldn't even get that kind of tone today in the mass media. It's just so much dumber and more vicious.
Well, if they put me on the platform, I'll get it out there, because I'm pretty good at that. But they don't. They won't even. I used to lecture universities, journalism classes, and so forth.
Sure.
In California, they quit inviting me. Never invited me again. You know, because that's the fix was in.
Yeah. That's how it is.
Mr. Metzger, I want to try to get with you, like I've suggested with Alex, and have you on kind of on a regular basis, and you can maybe advertise it on your website and get people to call in to ask you questions.
Sure.
if you're willing.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, I'm going to finish up with Alex here, and I'm very grateful for your time, Mr. Metzger.
Good talking to you guys, Alex. Good talking to you.
Yeah,
I think
it's
the first time we ever talked.
It is the first time we ever talked.
Thank you.
And I do have a couple ideas I'd like to get your critique of.
Well,
okay.
One of them is for an organization I do think is a little different, but I'll talk to you about that later.
I'll get you on with him again, Mr. Metzger.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Alex. All right. Well, that went better. That went pretty good. You know, I used to be a systems engineer on Madison Avenue in New York City.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I mean, I used to be at the cutting edge of technology.
I'll tell you what, that I didn't hear any clicks or any problems, so it should have recorded fairly well, I would think.
Yeah, it's better than before. It can still be improved immensely. There are a gazillion settings within Sam Broadcaster that I have not mastered yet, but I'm working on it. Let me go back to the list here. I know I've kept you a long time, and let me just try to wrap up. But I do want to have you back on. I'm getting after it again now. I done got over that girl that broke my heart. So, all right, let's see. Tom, Pete Peters. Did I ask you about Pete Peters?
No, you didn't. Pete Peters, I know to be, I think, a Christian identity guy, pretty successful marketer, preacher, but I don't know him personally, and I just know him from reading about him. A lot of his stuff, back when I worked in conservatism, one of the bennies we used to get was all the free books they sent, hoping they'd be reviewed, and I got, I think, in that period, I got a nice ADL, kind of like Kinko's-bound thing that ran down a lot of these people you're talking about who were big names back then before I ever knew anything about white nationalism, or it's just interesting to read through, and I still got that today.
Hey,
and yeah,
hey, Alex,
the kind of person they would talk about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, the bennies of being in book review, because I've got a mini library. I call up all these publishers and ask for an interview with people like Pat Buchanan when he wrote that book about the World War II. I don't know what his target, I don't, whatever it was. They sent the book to me, no charge, but I didn't get the interview with Pat Buchanan. But I got a book in my hand right now that was sent to me from Simon & Schuster in New York called The Attack on the Liberty by James Scott. And,
sure.
It doesn't appear that Mr. Scott is going to be forthcoming to give me an interview either, but I'm getting free books anyway.
Yeah, you can do that, actually. That's true. A lot of people don't realize that.
William Pierce is dead and gone, but...
Pierce, good man. I've went and met with him several times, and the thing I respect about Pierce, as I've written many times, is that, you know, I grew up conservative, thinking the right was telling me the truth and the left was lying to me. But then you find that the conservatism changes over time. It never holds to one position, and that's where Pierce was different. Pierce held to the same intellectually defensible position his entire writing and leading career. And so that's why he drew people like me to him and away from the conservatives, who are always, you know, it's ultimately, I call them career girls. It's all about their career. It's not about the cause. It's not about putting some principle ahead of their personal interests. It's about, well, you know, be realistic. That's what you have to do to get on or to get ahead. You have to agree that, you know, Martin Luther King is a great guy. Well, he's not. I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, my clear thinking and my honor to say something that's a lie because it might make me a few more bucks. So that's why people were attracted to people like William Pierce. He provided a very solid intellectual basis for our cause.
Yeah, he's fun to read. I enjoy his stuff. All right, Ted Pike, National Prayer Network.
Oh, one of the few Christians I like. I mean, I like it because he, more than any other person, has really tracked the efforts of the ADL to get these thought crimes bills passed. So everybody owes him a lot of thanks for that. And I'm extremely critical of Christianity. I consider it utterly ridiculous and unfounded. But I always give credit to Christians who provide genuine intellectual fodder and a degree of leadership to the rest of us. That includes Catholics like E. Michael Jones and also guys like Ted Pike. That's the Truth Tellers guy, isn't it?
I don't know.
Truth Tellers Network, they put out the circular on the thought crime bills.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'll be looking him up. You know, all these guys I'm going to try to ultimately get an interview with as well. Billy Roper.
Roper, I had some dealings with when he was with the N.A., some things I like about him. I have a mixed opinion about him.
Richard Scutari.
He's one of the order. He's in prison.
Prison. Yeah, they've got.
Yeah, he's been very critical of VNN for dealing with Rounder.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, if you're gonna rob banks and lead a political revolution, you get caught. Part of your job is to accept that the system's gonna put you down. You know, mm-hmm. and that's just how it is. Blaming Glenn Miller. Miller's not the reason he's in jail. He needs to man up and take responsibility for his own actions.
Malik,
and I'm not saying he's wrong to rob banks and try to carry out a white revolution. It's utterly defensible in light of what we face. But you can't expect Zog not to do something when you get caught.
Mm-hmm. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Don't know him. Is that one of the...
must be some kind of Muslim.
He must be. I don't limit my white hating to whites. I hate, or to Jews. I hate all whites. He might have been the guy who said something like that.
next guy's Bradley Smith, CODA.
I like what Smith has done. I don't know about him personally. I mean, I guess someone saying he's a homosexual married to a Mexican, that's kind of irrelevant because his stuff in the Holocaust is straight and good.
Yeah. Edgar J. Steele.
Ed Steele writes good stuff. I've met him. Good guy, lawyer out of Idaho. And he wrote a good book, Defense of Racism. People ought to read that. It lays out our case quite well. He's a very well-spoken trial lawyer.
He won't accept my apology. I've apologized a couple of times and tried to get it.
Well, name. You know, he's got an ego, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
I got a huge one, too, but I'm willing to say I'm sorry. He won't take it. I guess his ego's bigger than mine.
Be it. I mean, his stuff's good. You can read it. You can listen to it. We've always promoted it at VNN. People can't go wrong. I try to judge everyone by whether they're good. What they do that's good, I support them. What they do that's bad, I oppose them.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't really any other way to do it, is there?
Yeah, that seems fair to my mind.
Of course, it's relying on my judgment, and I'm sure I'm wrong sometimes, but
well, that
to be
was,
honest, straightforward, that, factual.
Yeah, I that's my sense of you, kind of a Joe Friday. Wasn't that guy's name in Dragnet, or what was that?
I guess.
I
don't know if I'm like that, but...
No, but you're...
I try to be fair to people as long as I believe they're honestly motivated.
The one thing Metzger had said that resonates with me is that a lot of times groups, Republicans or any group, they won't accept criticism of another member, you know, out of loyalty. But you seem to be, and I don't agree with that. I think if somebody's bad, they ought to go, you know, no talk.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is, and this is kind of white nationalist culture, and it goes into even the national alliances, the problem is that people will use loyalty as a way to shield themselves from legitimate criticism. So that if you point out, hey, you're acting like, you know, a typical Protestant church, you know, corrupt leaders and shaking people down, and you try to point that out, then they immediately go, oh, you're a Fed, you're an informer, you're a Jew, you know, they start lying about it. That's what we saw when me and Bill White were offering. Now, he made up some things, but some things he didn't. We were both offering criticism of the NA under Glebe and Strom and pointing out what was actually going on. They started calling us Feds and informers.
Yeah, I
so
don't.
You know. Can't, if you're honest, you can't do that. You can say, you can criticize or whatever, but unless you know, that's my rule at VNN, unless you have actual proof someone is a Jew or an informer, you can't call them that or I'll ban you.
What about Eric Glebe? What's your opinion of him?
I've heard a lot of bad about him from people. I don't know any of the bad personally.
What's the bad you hear? Because,
being a womanizer and being kind of dumb. I avoid them. I don't like those NA people who are running it now. I don't trust them, and I don't have anything to do with them.
How about Strom? Isn't his first name Eric Strom, too? Eric, is it?
No, Kevin Strom.
Kevin Strom. What about
Kevin
him?
Kevin Strom, very highly competent editorial guy, very good at editing, very good at graphics and writing. Personally, he's deceitful and a backstabber and kind of wimpy, so I avoid him too.
What did he get arrested and charged and convicted of?
He got
something
charged
perverse.
With like one count of possessing child pornography.
Boy, that, see, to me, goodness gracious, I mean, boy, that's pretty bad.
But again, you can't judge until you the feds set people up. The federal government is corrupt. They will target people and take them down. You can't draw conclusions from what they say.
Yeah, but he pled guilty, though, to that, didn't he?
Well, if I charge you with 85 things, you'd probably plead guilty also.
No, the way I've always won is I never pled guilty to anything. I fought it all the way through and won, prevailed in the
end. Well, they could easily put you in a situation where you would have to think real hard. More convincing to me was that he had signed a paper saying that he needed counseling for certain types of feelings that no man should have. More convincing than Zog. They can target anyone. I mean, when my little thing in Knoxville, they trumped up 4 charges.
Oh, that's. I'm glad I didn't forget about that. I wanted to ask you about just a kind of a quick summary of Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom, the trial.
Well, I guess they just, the two of them have gone through the trial. One of them got like life. The other one got the death penalty. And I know at least in the first jury there were more blacks on it than whites. And you've got the garbage media. They won't cover it nationally, except after we had the rally. We forced it in there a little bit, but do everything they can to claim race had nothing to do with this because some of the niggers were screwing some skanky white girls. You know, but obviously, if you're raping and torturing these people, everybody knows that they don't like whites.
Did you see that
race is part of it?
Did you see that piece on VDare? One Knoxville horror perp sentenced to death, but the time bomb is ticking by Nicholas Sticks. Did you read that?
No, I did not read that. Is that in the last couple of days?
Yeah, November 3rd. It's a really good piece. I was kind of surprised to see it come from VDare.
Well, Sticks is a Jew who is employed by Amren, and he also freelances for VDare and some of these other ones, and I've talked to him myself. He's written about it more than anyone else. But, of course, he affects not to understand the Jewish civil rights that made all of these crimes possible by forcing blacks in amongst us. So his focus and Amren's focus is always to get people blaming niggers rather than the Jews who set up the system.
Well, it's a complicated thing to explain all that to people. You know,
it really isn't. You know, there's no other issue in the world where, you have to have just, how hard is it to understand that we had laws that allowed communities to protect themselves. Those laws were overturned. That's what allows these niggers. I mean, it's like, It's like saying, oh, there's a rabid dog in a cage. Well, Joe Fagelstein let the rabid dog out, and now it's biting people. Is that hard to understand?
No, but
hard to understand. Even Southerners can understand that.
That's saying a lot. The emotional aspect of it is, though, they immediately engender sympathy and support. When Styx, you would think Styx would be a good guy. I mean, how could Styx be a bad guy because he's writing about this? You see what I'm saying? That's the kind of tricky part.
Well, what I'm saying is that's why you need to exclude Jews from our stuff completely. When you start mixing them in, you get whites trapped in endlessly blaming blacks. Well, of course, the average person, north or south, is going to blame blacks because that's what they see in front of their nose is committing the crime. You don't see Jews running around raping people and murdering them. No, but they're the ones behind the scenes who are allowing all this stuff to happen and not covering it in the media.
That requires,
like, it's all a great thing called diversity or multiculturalism.
I see it. It's crystal clear to me, but the masses don't get it at all. I mean, they're a lot, like you say, a lot of them, Southerners especially, want to blame blacks, but they would never blame Jews.
And that's where whatever education our cause provides is needed. That's where you need to make that one simple connection to, like, it didn't used to be like this. Now it is like this. What changed? Well, a number of laws changed. They allowed these subhuman animals into our community, and when they did what subhuman animals always do, why, they covered it up. They stuck them in prison for less time than they ought to get. They didn't write about what was going on. You'll never find racial crimes put in context. Never. They gave one paragraph. I've seen it done one time, and that was the very last couple of paragraphs in an article the Chicago Tribune wrote about our Knoxville rally. They actually said, like, oh, yeah, there's this many, you know, interracial crimes a year, and most of them are committed by blacks. So they won't give that information because it would help people understand what's going on.
I hope we can make the call-in work because, I'd like to get a listening audience and do something with it constructive. Next person is Jared Taylor, American Renaissance.
Taylor is someone I despise, and he's good. He's buddy-buddy with a lot of these people who ought to know better. Taylor claims he doesn't take a position on the Jews, but claiming that means you are taking a position on the Jews. His position is there shall be no education as to the Jewish nexus in relation to open borders and all the crimes the blacks commit against whites. He doesn't want people to know that. He knows it himself. My opinion is he wants to be the Bill Buckley of the racialist movement, and that means making white nationalism a safe bolt hole for Jews in case all of this falls apart, like we've been talking about, that whites won't blame Jews. And that's his primary function. That's his intentional function. That's what he is intentionally doing, is delinking our cause from the knowledge of the Jew being the one who created this horrible situation that we're in.
Hal Turner.
Cop type figure, very good outdoor speaker, but a little too interested in money, a little too much bravado like a cop. I mean, before example, you know, we had him speak before I was arrested, and I met them at a place right before we went up, and he's like, "Boy, you seem nervous." What are you nervous? I'm like, "Yeah, I'm nervous." You know, we're going out here to talk about a couple of murder victims, and they have hundreds of cops and are flying helicopters overhead and treating us like we're the bad guy or the bacillus that must be sealed off from the population. You're damn right I'm nervous about that. That's not a normal state of affairs. But you could tell from his bravado and just always making things up. That's why we had banned him from VNN Forum. You know, a lot of people want to be cops, or he had a cop-type bearing. That's what made me suspicious.
You mean an informant, police informant type?
Well, you know, he's kind of playing both sides of the fence, trying to draw money wherever he could, and you don't help our cause when you're, even if you're doing something legal. It's what he did wasn't even illegal, but it's just not very sensible. Printing people's names and addresses, that's a tactic the left and the Jews want to reserve for themselves.
James von Braun.
Von Braun was a guy who
attacked that Holocaust museum, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't know him, but I knew of his site. He came to me years ago, and I think I directed him to my old, the woman I started VNN with, and she actually set up his site that became Holy Western Empire. Beyond that, I don't know the guy. He was obviously someone who was a decorated World War II fighter, had very strong feelings, who understood the Jew, and actually dared to try to do something about it to the extent we can determine his motives. And he's still alive, so I guess it will come out in court.
Ernst Zundel.
Zundel has written a lot of good stuff, fought the good fight, and been duly imprisoned by Canada, the U.S., and Germany.
Well, that's the end of the list, and I know I've texted you longer than I said, and I'm grateful for your time. But like, I want to, you know, try to set up something in the future where I have you on a regular basis, maybe twice a month, like you said.
And yeah, that's fine with me. If I'm around, I'm happy to talk. And if you can set it up technically to take calls, that might be worth doing sometimes.
Yeah, initially,
I know people like that.
I want to try my home number first, and if that doesn't work, I'll go for the 800 number. But, you know, people's, like you said, they've got a flat long-distance rate, and, you know, it doesn't matter if they call, you know, one more long-distance call is not going
right.
to matter.
Yeah. I think there'd be a market for it since Hal Turner's was the only one who was doing that pretty much, and he's not on the air any longer.
One thing though, I've sent you email that's bounced. Is your email? Are you receiving email?
You probably sent it to my old one.
What's your new one? Can you give that out or?
alender5@gmail.com.
1 second. alender5@gmail.com.
Yeah, I don't think the KVMO one is dead.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I'm glad to have that. Alex, I'm grateful for your time, and I look forward to talking with you again in the near future.
Oh, I look forward to it too, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Bye. This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi, in search of honor and courage.